Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Fabulous service department. And they take care of everything. They take care of routine. They take care of inspections, diagnostics. It's one-stop vehicle shopping all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Mets lead the Phillies 8-3 at the end of 6. Pirates won today, beat the Cubs 6-2. Dodgers beat Minnesota 7-0. Washington beat the Braves 3-1. Red Sox lead Detroit 9-4, top of the 8th. Astros and D-backs scoreless, top 2. And bottom 2, San Diego leads San Francisco 1-0. And the Yankees play Toronto tonight, averaging 2 runs per game in the series. Gerrit Cole, he of the $36 million contract, will be out there against Jose Berrios tonight. Berrios does not make $36 million a season. Thus, the expectations are lower. They're going to lead off Rizzo tonight.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I've always never been a fan of Boone's lineups. And I think a lot of that goes to what we just talked about with Heath Bell, and he's absolutely right.
Now, see, Joey Gallo's 1-for-12 in his career against Berrios. Very nice. So I'm very impressed. Well, and no Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup tonight.
Guessing the night off.
Yeah, I mean, it's what, the 7th game? Yeah, it's no 6th game. Must be exhausted. All right, so. I gassed, huh? That's 7:05 tonight. All right. So let's get to the play by play call of the day.
Russell for the lead. Winner secures a playoff slot and a date with Memphis. Edwards, hold on!
Oh, my goodness.
Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller last night on TNT as the T-Wolves won on a night where Karl Anthony Towns got 4 fouls in the first half, picked up his 5th foul in the third quarter. So he really wasn't much of a factor last night, but Anthony Edwards was. He had 30 last night, the former first overall draft pick. Wow. Okay. So let's get to some football talk with Reginald Walker. Sir, always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Good to be on, and I'm just going to work on my wire transfer for a blanket from McClanahan's right now. I think I can raise those things.
That's right. You got to shop at the store. You got to take care of it.
That's it.
All right. So I'll get to a couple of other topics in a moment, but I always talk about players coming in and they end up transferring because suddenly they realize there's no traction in the program for them, and that's not the story with everybody. But when did you realize when you came here, like, the talent is comparable and it's tough here?
Probably somewhere in the spring of 2001.
Yeah.
And what it was, you know, you're out there and you're in spring ball in my case, right? And I'm going, why am I not getting more reps with the first team? And then I said to myself, hold on a second. Take a step back when you're not in 7-on-7 or in the team period and just watch the things that guys like Brian Scott, Rich Gardner, Bruce Branch, just watch what they're doing. And some of the plays those guys were making, I kind of had to say to myself, yeah, physically I can do some of that stuff, but the where their mind is and how far ahead of the play they are compared to how long it takes me to see it, those guys are on a different level, right? And you finally and the hardest thing to do as an athlete, as a player, is to look at the guy next to you objectively and say, is he making the kind of plays that I'm not, right? It's not about is he, quote, better than me, not better, whatever, right? I'm not even talking about in those terms. But is this particular person making the type of plays that I'm not making? And if the answer is yes, there's your reason for why you're not getting as many snaps as they are.
Yeah, there's another element to it as well. I've been around and have seen guys that are okay at practice but have the attitude, hey, put me in the game, I'll show you what I can do. How long did it take you to realize, hey, look, I got to practice like it is a game?
Pretty quick. It didn't take me long, and it's because, right, when you're – because part of it, and this is the hardest thing for coaches to do, is see those flashes, right? Certain guys flash. And then also they can see it from the preparation in the meeting rooms. You say certain things, you notice certain things, and they go, you know what, if I put this person out there in the game, I may see some of those same types of things. And so that's where they have to see it from. But it has to be exhibited in some kind of way. But then also, and I think this is the piece that so many people forget, that's why recruiting is not just looking at game tape. That's why it's so important to talk to a player's high school coach, to talk to a player's maybe coach of a different sport at the high school level, right? Not only do you talk to that football coach, you talk to that basketball coach. You talk to the family. You talk to those academic people. Because it could be the same thing, right? A kid's not great with quizzes and everyday homework, mm-hmm. but they're great with tests or the other way around.
Right.
And so that's why those conversations are so important, because a high school coach can give you that indication, which is why I think it's so dangerous that so many college basketball players are being recruited off of the AAU circuit and maybe not necessarily their high school coach, because the work habits are different, right? Your AAU coach, oftentimes, some of these kids, they don't even practice with their AAU teams. They just meet them wherever the scrimmage is or the tournament is, and they just mm-hmm. play. And so that's why it's so important to have those pre-existing relationships to really get to the background and the depth of what kids are doing and who they are as they continue to develop as players.
A year ago, the Carolina Panthers acquired Sam Darnold from the New York Jets. Now they're sitting in the number 6 spot. There are some people that think they're going to take a quarterback. You're down there. Could they take a quarterback?
They could. They shouldn't. And it's real simple to me. They've got way more holes than they need to fill, and I don't care who's playing quarterback. If you can't keep that person upright, they're not going to be very good. And that's just the bottom line. The other piece of it is I like Kenny Pickett. I think he can be pretty good. I think Kenny is clearly one of the older – obviously quarterbacks that we've seen come out of the draft in a few years. Mm-hmm. So that helps him. Malik Willis has all the physical tools, but I don't think he's mentally, in terms of his ability to process information from the pocket, prepared to play right now as a rookie. So are you really going to make your football team better by drafting either one of those guys? I think not. And so to me, I think you need to get an offensive lineman, particularly that left tackle position, address that, and get to the point to where you have what I would call 5 respectable starters up front to try to win games with, and then you start to add pieces around that football team from there. And maybe the solution is, if you've added enough pieces in other places, maybe this time next year you're making a trade and doing something like maybe what the Denver Broncos did or something like that to bring in a high caliber quarterback as your final piece. Because I think that's the trend of what we're starting to see in the National Football League. Because as you know, Steve, the hit rate on franchise quarterbacks is less than 10%.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I don't think a lot of people realize. It's so when you looked at Darnold, for example, and he was out part of the season. But, I mean, does he have enough to get them through a season if they draft correctly?
I think if they keep him upright, he can get them through a season. Do I think they're a playoff, you know, a team that can win a playoff game? I doubt it with him at the quarterback position. Sam Darnold, the one thing I noticed about him is the same thing I saw when I sort of, if you will, evaluated him coming out of USC. He turns it over in bunches, right? And so what Sam Darnold gives you is he'll give you three games where he goes 8 touchdowns to 1 interception, you know, averaging 240 yards a game and hitting 62% of his passes. And then all of a sudden he'll give you a three-game stretch where he gives you 2 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions, and he's only giving you about 190 yards a game. The ebbs and flows of his ability, the ups and downs, the peaks and valleys of him as a quarterback tell me he is not a guy that is a starter long-term in the NFL. What it tells me is he's a guy that if you have a good, solid franchise or veteran quarterback, Sam Darnold is a guy that could come in if that quarterback goes down. Let's say maybe it's a high ankle sprain or something like that, or the quarterback is going to be out for a couple of weeks for other reasons, not necessarily a serious injury. Then Sam Darnold's a guy that can come in and start 2 or 3 games for you and get you through those. But you don't want him in stretches of 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, obviously 17-game schedule as the focal point in the face of your passing offense.
Also down in your area, Clemson head football coach Dabo Swinney says, look, they may have to, in other words, break the system and start over in another way, or break away because of the lack of structure right now, especially in football. When you heard those comments, what did you think based on the current atmosphere?
You gotta adapt and adjust. I mean, at the end of the day, we are in a world where if you're not able to use the transfer portal to your advantage, because high school players, even if you do bring them in, they're not going to stay if they're not playing significant snaps right away, and that's the hardest part. So if you're not willing to adjust and work within the ramifications, right, and I say ramifications on purpose, not necessarily just parameters, right, because the transfer portal has changed the game, right? No one, because there's a level of impatience, Steve, and I think you get this better than anybody, and to some extent, and I've drawn the ire of some Penn State guys and even some of my former teammates. There's a level of patience, and I think James even deals with it at times, of you have to win a national championship. And I think what Nick Saban has done and what Dabo Swinney have done over the last 15 years, give or take, has really messed up, right, what the expectation of what winning in college football is about. And so it's not that easy to win national championships, but the lack of patience from fan bases is so high that you better find a way, and you better get the best players in there, because if one guy leaves, you better have somebody in there that can fill that spot, because there's no room to have any kind of drop off, and your fan base accept that.
Right. Well, that's one thing about the Penn State fan base to me that's so important, is the passion of it, because the last thing you need, I mean, I'm talking passion pro and con, you can't have apathy.
That's right.
If you have apathy, you're like, because you don't want to be what I refer to as the really neat sports. Hey, they won. Hey, it's really neat. Ah, they lost. Ah, too bad. You don't want to be that.
That's right.
And there are a lot of sports right now that actually fall into that category.
No, it's true. And that's absolutely right. You don't want to get to the point to where the fans don't care. And many, anybody will tell you, you've been around college football long enough, Steve, the minute you look up and you see a half-full stadium on a Saturday, when you've got a quality opponent coming in, you know it doesn't matter for that coach. His time there is short, because the fans no longer care, so the administration is going to have to make a change. And so that goes back to that level of patience, right? Because people know, oh, we're not winning at the rate that I want to see us win. They're ready to bail on that obviously franchise and professional level, and then program at the collegiate level immediately, because they want wins at a high, high level. And the issue now is, how high of a level can you consistently compete at if you can't even keep players that are good in your own program to wait their turn and be the next guy in line?
Well, so because what Dabo said yesterday was, they asked him about the transfer portal, and you, of course, brought up Dabo and the transfer portal. He says, my locker room is my transfer portal.
If you don't recruit your own, you will lose them.
And that's
so he's
true.
Absolutely right. And you know, I tell you what's interesting, and I would encourage anybody who has a chance, and I'm drawing a blank on what school it was, but it was either Jackson State or Grambling State. They brought in a new volleyball coach.
It was Grambling State.
And the volleyball coaches cut everybody. And some people are going, you can't do that. Well, the easy response, and I could have told you, I said it out loud as soon as I saw the headline. Somebody from the administration or that coach is going to reference the transfer portal as a reason why they can do this. Yeah. And so that's exactly what happened. If the players can leave, I can push them out the door.
Well, you have to spend a good chunk of your time re-recruiting your own players in subtle ways, obviously. You're not out there, you know, re-recruiting them, but you have in order to keep them. But you need the transfer portal to fill in whatever gap you have in your recruiting. I mean, if you're bringing in 20 to 25 guys and there's still a position gap somewhere where you're like, I still need to get, quote, an edge rusher. To me, that's right. How you use it. Right? What Mel Tucker did is Mel brought in 20 guys, 15 from FBS. That's how he recruited. Like, okay, well, it worked once. But, boy, I think it changes the dynamics of your locker room when you do something like that. Now, I may be wrong, but I think in the end it changes the dynamics of your locker room when you do so, because you're bringing in people from all sorts of cultures coming in.
You're bringing in people from all sorts of cultures, and you're also bringing in guys that feel like they should be focal points, right?
Yeah.
Oftentimes, wherever they left, it was because they were not enough of the focal point. How many times do you see an All-American defensive end say, I'm leaving to go somewhere else? Not very often. It does happen, but the percentage is much lower than the guy that's a rotational edge player that all of a sudden says, I'm leaving here because I need to get more snaps so I can get my sack numbers up so I can move myself up in the NFL draft.
Sir, you'd be a first-round pick in our book. Thank you so much. As always, look forward to talking to you again.
Anytime, Steve. You guys take care.
I feel like I'm wide receiver one. My skill set, my versatility, the things I can do on the football field, and not only the things I can do on the football field, the things that I bring with me. Just going to be a great teammate, going to bring positive energy to the locker room. I'm just a fun guy to be around. I love joking and having fun, but when it's time to get serious, I get serious, and I can make plays on the field at any time possible. I did that for my team at Penn State. My guys can vouch for me there. So just bringing a fun, charismatic guy to the team and someone who's going to make plays immediately.
And he is a terrific football player, Jahan Dotson. Been through a lot. His mother's gone through cancer. And she is hanging in there. He's a guy who thinks the world of his mom. And I can't say enough good things about Jahan Dotson. As a football player, he's a superior player. It would take me no more than 5 seconds to get the card up to the table and say he's the wide receiver we want. Hey, by the way, when is it okay to take out a guy with a perfect game? Maybe today was the day. Clayton Kershaw had 7 perfect innings. He faced 21 batters, retired all 21. He threw 80 pitches. But it's a cold day. It's his first start. He's not completely stretched out. He's battled some injuries the last couple of years. I have no problem with Dave Roberts taking him out after 7 innings. I mean, how far do you want to do this just to get the perfect game? The Dodgers won. The only hit for the Twins was a guy that the Yankees just flat out gave up on. Gary Sanchez.
Good for him.
But literally, they took Kershaw out with a perfect game. And to be honest with you, if this were July, I'd have a problem with it. If it were June, I'd have a problem with it. Not the first start in April. That doesn't make sense.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. You want new inventory? They've got it. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory. great selection of pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department to back it all up. That's what makes this great one-stop vehicle shopping. That service department can take care of inspections, routine, diagnostics, you name it, they can do it. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right. We'll do a lot on Penn State football next week. The team is just getting underway with practice right now. They will practice again Friday. In fact, they're going to scrimmage Friday. Then next week they'll go Monday, Wednesday, dynamic walkthrough Friday, blue-white game Saturday. We'll have a series of Penn State football guests next week. We're already in the process of lining them up, as a matter of fact, to get them going for next week's show. Tyler Donahue is going to join us next week. Next Wednesday, by the way, we will have Sandy Barber on the show. And then Tyler Donahue next week. I think the week after is when we're going to have Ryan Snyder on the show. We'll talk recruiting post-blue-white game. Okay. Monday, we're going to have Tom Hannafin on. Tuesday, Matt McGloin. Wednesday, Sandy Barber. Thursday, Tyler Donahue. Those are just at least the preliminary list, and then we'll have some writers on to go with it, with them next week. Okay? And the coaches show returns next Thursday, leading into the blue-white game from 6 to 7. A lot going on. Okay. So we want to make sure everybody was up to date on the program. So a lot to do with Penn State football next week. There really isn't much that a lot of people can add. Look, the media is not in long enough to really get a feel and a read for what's going on. That's why you don't see many stories about how practice is going, because they can't tell. They're really in there usually during a special teams period or two. That's it. Then they'll ask questions to James afterward. That is not in any way, it's 180 of a criticism. I'm trying to actually back them up a little bit. That way, you know, you understand where they're coming from, what they're doing. And there's no media allowed in Friday at all. Now, once we get to the game, I mean, Jack and I will talk a lot about what's been going on. Because obviously, Jack and I have been able to see what's going on. And we'll do that during the game. That's the time to do it. I know it's frustrating on the show. Matt wants me to unload on all the information now. But I don't, because it makes him mad.
It's okay. We'll wait. I know you got to save some things, so it's all right.
Well, it's not a question of saving some things. It's a question that you're there, and in order to be there, anybody that would be in my shoes would take the same approach. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know, he has to let out what he wants to be let out. I, on the other hand, have to go along and make sure that I'm doing this in a way that fits. Okay. So let's get to the scoreboard quickly. The Mets lead the Phillies 8-5, top of the eighth. Pirates won over the Cubs 6-2. Nationals beat the Braves 3-1. Guardians beat the Reds 7-3. I mentioned the Clayton Kershaw deal. He had a perfect game going. And he had retired all 21 through 7. They took him out. He had 80 pitches. If this were late May, June, July, August, I'd criticize taking him out. But when it's his first start, It's April. It's very cold in Minnesota. They had that big snowstorm up in North Dakota. He hit his 80-pitch limit, and he's had some injuries. They took him out. I think it was the smart move to make by Dave Roberts. Anybody else has, you know, in a different time, different situation, more stretched out, I would sit there and say, hey, you got to be kidding me. You got to keep him in there. Not today. It makes complete sense that they took him out. Let's see. Giants lead the Padres 2-1 bottom of the fourth. Diamondbacks lead the Astros 1-0 bottom of the third. Bottom of the eighth, Red Sox lead the Tigers 9-7. Yankees play Toronto tonight. Well, the Flyers play on TNT tonight. Hey, national television. They got the Rangers.
Oh, my almighty!
Rangers have 100 points, 47, 21, and 6. The Flyers have 57 points, 23, 39, and 11.
Get those the lingerie 20. On the deck. Call the janitor.
Those are 23 great wins, though. Then the nightcap is the Kings in Colorado tonight. Colorado has 110 points this year. Wow. They're 52, 14, and 6. They are good. But when you win the President's Cup, it is not an automatic. It is not an automatic that you're going to get the Stanley Cup. Very rare is it that a team wins the President's Cup and wins the Stanley Cup. Don't know why, but it's just the way it is.
Y'all just talk about being apathetic toward a team, that's where I am right now with the Flyers.
To be honest with you, based on the performance of the other teams, you probably ought to just take the same attitude. it would ease the pain. No?
They haven't made as many stupid decisions and shown as much incompetency as the Flyers have than the other teams have.
There you go. All right.
The Sixers have an airhead of an owner, but at least they have a very good GM and they have talent and they're winning.
He's got a lot of money, though, right?
Josh Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he owns 5,000 different franchises, including the rival of the team that you share an arena with, because that makes sense.
Rival the arena. The who?
He owns the Devils, too, besides the Sixers. No, I think that's a total violation.
Yeah. Wow. He owns two hockey teams?
No, he owns the Sixers and the... He owns the Sixers and the Devils, yeah.
Oh, he owns the Sixers and the Devils.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
what I'm saying. I said wrong. The Sixers GM... I think the Sixers owner is an airhead, but at least they have a GM in Daryl Morey who knows what he's doing, and they have talent, and they're winning. The Flyers owners, Dave Scott and Comcast Spectacor, they have no idea at all what's going... how they're way above their head and need to sell the team.
Okay. Alright. So, for the sake of it, what football questions do you have?
Penn State-wise?
Yeah.
How has, drawing a blank, the transfer from Cornell, how's he been doing in camp?
Not here yet.
Oh, that's right. He's got to graduate still, right?
Yeah, he still has to graduate from Cornell.
So, he's definitely not going to play then next week.
No. So he's not even here.
Okay. Quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Who should be the number two right now, do you think? Who's performing well that right now? Maybe you would put him at number two on the depth chart.
Christian Veilleux.
Veilleux. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not even a hesitation. I look, when it comes to the two young quarterbacks, there has to be some level of understanding that there's a learning curve here. I am impressed by both of them. And when the game comes, I'll explain the different ways I'm impressed by both. But Bo and Drew both do certain elements that right away you are impressed with. But you have to remember, they're trying to learn a new system. They're trying to learn all new terminology. They're trying to go about the reads that you have to make in this offense to make a play. Even something as simple as, okay, there are a few plays that Penn State runs under center. Well, guess what Bo and Drew have never done before? They've never taken center snaps. So after practice, each one, I think they take 50 apiece or something like that, so they can get used to, boom, taking a snap and then making the turn. Taking a snap, then making a turn. Because they'd never had done it before. So just something that you would consider as, quote, simple as that, they've had to work on it. But they both have done really well, and they both have done, have absolutely made progress in 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. No getting around. They both have made really good progress in 3 weeks. But so has Christian Veyu. And Veyu has a better command of the offense, a better command of the terminology, and to his credit, has thrown the ball really well. How about that for an answer?
Yeah, I like it. Now, do we know snap counts yet in terms of how many reps everybody's going to get? We don't know that yet. Okay.
No. I don't even know how he wants to do it yet.
Oh, that still hasn't even been determined yet either. Yeah, because I know the offensive line numbers are still in flux, right?
Yep. Might be getting a little bit better here as time goes, but it's still... That's where I give those guys in the offensive line a lot of credit, because they have needed to be out there for a lot of reps during the course of a practice. And to their credit, they have been taking rep after rep after rep. And in the end, it's going to benefit certain guys. And in the end, I've seen a couple of the younger guys really make progress because of the number of reps they've taken, and I think it'll really help them out. Now whether they get enough guys back, see, some guys have been out. I mean, that's what's caused the numbers problem, is they've had some guys that have been banged up. Nothing that is season ending or anything, none of that, okay? But it's been something where they needed to be out. And so that kept the numbers down, so they've had to adjust to it. But there's nobody out there that has an injury or a circumstance, which will keep them out any extended period of time. I said some of them are actually coming back now.
Well, that's good. All right. And then one final question. Let's talk about underrated players that are making a lot of noise in camp that we're not talking about, that we should look out for next week.
Underrated. I think Singleton is somebody everybody's talked about. So I don't really need to bring up Nick's name. He's got a burst to him. Whew, love that burst.
I can't wait to see him next week.
Mitchell Tinsley, the transfer from Western Kentucky, is everything I thought he would be. He catches everything, gets the ball at the high point, just really, really good. The young kid, Caden Saunders, is very elusive once he catches the ball. He may not be like, put him on the watch and he's going to blow you away running a 4.240 or whatever, but he is elusive when he catches and runs with the ball. Defensively, I think Tyler Elsden has had a really good spring at linebacker. Kobe King has done really, really well, but Elsden has really done a heck of a job. Let's see. Devon Ellis had a really good day the other day. Keem Beeman's been good the whole time. Jordan Vandenberg's been good the whole time. Kaziah Izzard's been rock solid. In the secondary, a couple of guys in the secondary that have performed very well. Besides, you know, you expect certain guys to do well in certain areas. But I think Jalen Reed and I think Zakee Wheatley is a guy. Zakee Wheatley's made the move from corner to safety, and I think he's handled it really, really well. Yeah. All right. How much some of these guys play, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna see a lot of Khalil Dinkins at tight end. You'll probably see a lot of Jerry Cross at tight end. You know, the young running backs will probably, you know, between Catron Allen, who's, by the way, very good. I like Catron Allen a lot. You'll probably see the young running backs in there, and I would say that I'll give you a guy that is like way under the radar, but I've always liked him as a football player, is Sebastian Constantini, safety. He'll play a lot, in my opinion, in the blue-white game. And every time I turn around, he's just a good player. Now, is he a starter? No. Is he a second-team guy? No. Is he a contributor in somewhere on the football team? Yeah. Do you win because you have guys like Sebastian Constantini? Yep. Yep. So. Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that none of you really know about. But you know what? He knows how to play football. He knows how to play. I mean, but there's a lot of guys that fall in that category. You know, I mean, I'm looking to see like a guy like Malik Mega. Mega's the kind of guy that can take the top off of defense. You know, he certainly has all the tools you're asking for.
Well, now we just need good weather for next week.
It looks like the advance forecast is pretty good.
Let's see. Yeah, 65, partly cloudy for next Saturday. For State College.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Works for me. All right. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
I've heard you, like Omar Epps' character in the program, carry a football with you everywhere you go, on campus, in the airport, at restaurants. You always have a football on you. Please tell me this is true.
This is more than true. I carry it everywhere I go. Literally everywhere I go. I'm usually going from city to city, as you guys have mailed during this process. And I literally take the football with me every stop I go. I'm taking it around the airports with me. People kind of look at me kind of weird, but it's just me. Like that's just me being me. Just taking it everywhere. I've been doing that since I was a little kid, so it has stuck with me all this time, and I'm never going to stop doing it.
Very true.
You can confirm?
Very true.
That's awesome.
Well, It's the program. You can't drop the program. You can't fumble the program. That oblong object is the hopes and dreams of everybody on the team. So you can't lose it. I think in 4 years, I saw him drop one pass in practice. One. How about that? Remarkable. He approached practice the way he did the games. That's what makes him a cut above. He gets that practice is critical.